Like, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but if your plan was to move it and you went with Kulusevski for 1 week, so far your decision process is brilliant. Kulusevski was the best 1 week choice. You're winning. I'd stick to whatever your bloody plan is.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Monday. I hope you had a wonderful weekend and an FPL weekend that was memorable. But we're into Q&A, James. We're into Q&A. I was reading a question and speaking at the same time. You know how it is. I'll tell you why I'm a bit lethargic. Because I went to Tesco to buy my lunch. Classic, you know, good old meal deal. They've been light on the old coconut water recently. But anyway, had a meal deal. But then went to the little reduced section as well. Because always, you know, top up. A meal deal is not quite enough. I bought a peppered steak slice. And then they had a salted caramel mousse. And then I added a banana as well into the mix. And I did add one other snack as well. So I've had the equivalent of 2.5 meal deals for my lunch.
I've had some pizza warmed up from Saturday.
Nice.
That's it. I've got to get you working on these intros, mate.
Patrick Goddard. Let's just not do Q&A after I have 2.5 meal deals to get. And you know what? I had quite a bit of sweet stuff in there as well, included a Snickers. And I thought I might have a sugar high, but didn't work. Patrick Guida, which current players under 25 will go on to have a successful managerial career?
Honest answer, that's tough.
I have no idea. I don't even know how relevant it is. But also, I think players nowadays make so much money as players, well, like top-end ones. I don't know how many are bothered about managerial careers afterwards.
I'm terrible with ages is a thing as well. Decky might be one, mate. No, as in your one, not my one. Maybe my one as well, but my one definitely likes the swear word.
Did you hear Haaland swearing in his
post? Yeah, it's brilliant, to be fair. We should have mentioned it.
And he's like, oh, shit.
I love the fact that
his response to swearing was oh shit. Yeah.
Mind your language, and he swore again. I like that.
Oh dear. Some people would get pilloried for that. I don't know.
It's nice to know that he's not just a fucking this freak of nature robot.
Yeah.
Exactly. He is actually a real human being. I'd throw Declan Rice's name in, maybe. That's really, really, really difficult.
Chris Jago was asking about mini leagues and them being case sensitive. It's too late now, so oh well. TJ Powell, have they ever brought back Fan Zone commentary? Which game would you want to commentate on? James, what is Fan Zone commentary?
Don't remember what that was. You used to have a fan from each club and they'd do the commentary and you could choose it as alternative commentary.
On Sky?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play.
But they went way over the top with it.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't just I support Spurs and you support West Ham and let's commentate while watching the game. It became quite a like AFTV kind of fucking styling and shit. And yeah, it bombed eventually because it went too far the other way. It went too far away from what's serious to like over the top banter and stuff. No. And these guys aren't professionals, right? They're just fans of their clubs and stuff. What game would I want to commentate on? Like Spurs versus Fulham or something.
Harbour Boy, has there ever been a player that James has had a bigger change in opinion within 1 year than Matt Doherty?
This is a good question. Personal opinion, Matt Doherty's still shit. And that's not overly changed. Matt Doherty is just the best fit structurally as a wing back for Tottenham offensively at the moment. He has improved a lot, certainly to the extent I would say, put my hands up and say he is a footballer, without a doubt, and a decent one. So, yeah, there's a change. But listen, sometimes we can have opinions on people and it's all right to change. Like, he deserved to say, nah, you're not shit. I still think he's bang average, to tell you the truth. If I'm sitting here going, oh, Spurs are going to win the league with Doherty at wing back, Don't really think so. That'll be because of some of the other parts where they keep finding him at the back post or something.
We're going to ignore all the Bailey versus Alma on Zoe this time around. Anything yes, that was do. A pre-deadline question that's passed now, I'm afraid we're not going to answer. Sam O'Sullivan, have either of you been approached for Sky Sports' new FPL show? No.
Yes. I told them to shove it up their fucking arse. No, not really. so just like, why did you do that?
Because if you'd have been approached, you'd have told me. It's not like you're going to break news to me on the show. The only thing I would add, Sam, is that if I had been approached, I probably wouldn't know about it because I'd have fucking checked my DMs or my Planet FPL email.
That's
ever.
So
anyway,
true.
But, yeah, it's not worth it.
I don't have the face for it. I mean, look, the thing is as well, I'm never going to fit in on these things, right? Because I'm liable to get frustrated because if it's going to be like, I saw, and you know, fair dues to everybody who went on there. Like, I saw General, I saw Holly. Lee and Sam. No, I just saw passing because it's watered down stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Lee and Sam are either been on or going on. Heisenberg went on there. Obviously, Mark General went on there. Like, good luck to all of them. Brilliant. Fine. But... like it's watered down stuff, isn't it? It's for the massives. I'm not really interested.
Then I think that's what you probably don't see that maybe because it's hard to reflect in yourself is when you're on other people's shows, you're much more I want to say it's not that you're not controversial, but you're much more middle of the road than on our own show, which is you're on someone else's platform.
I don't want anyone else's show to get cancelled, right?
Yeah, of course. But also, you explain stuff very clearly and simply. Like, I think if people listen, there's never a time where I've thought James is waffling, or B, talking shit. So I think you'd be surprised. I think you would be surprised. But anyway, yeah, the answer to Sam's question is no.
I haven't checked the emails.
Yeah,
Jarvo.
Jarvo, what footballing documentaries would you say everyone should watch? I'm trying to think of a good footballing documentary. Escape to Victory.
It's a film. It's not a documentary.
Yeah, I know.
Anything with Maradona.
Okay, I'll take that. I don't really have a good answer to this one, Jarvo. I'm trying to think what documentaries I've watched that are that good, but. I was on the train to Bath. It was fucking wicked on Saturday morning. And 10 a.m. is when I got on the train. And 10 a.m. West Ham had a premiere on their YouTube channel of this documentary they'd done about Noble. And it was about 7 minutes in when I had to tweet it. My mum met my dad down at Wimpy in Canning Town. I was like, if there's ever a sentence that I thought would come out of Mark Noble's mouth, I think my dad met my mum down at Wimpy in Canning Town.
I also messaged Suge on Saturday on my way back from Spurs and said, what's your availability Tuesday? Oh. Got a feeling you've got to be somewhere. And Suge's response was something of the words that were, I've been drinking since 10 a.m. I don't know.
Yeah. I think I had about 7 pints and 2 gin and tonics on Saturday for a non-drinker. I was sober yesterday. Not I didn't feel hungover at all, but that's a story for another day. Matt Lowe, how do you process the eye test? For example, if Newcastle destroy Forest game week one, do you jump on Newcastle assets or do you jump on whoever is playing Forest in the coming weeks? Are weaknesses in the team more important than a hot streak from a striker?
No, I wouldn't put too much weight into anything you see game week one, other than there are a few things like knowing that City can/will play to Haaland's strengths is quite important. That's probably the biggest takeaway of the weekend is actually, didn't have much doubt about him anyway. Now got none, basically. No, I mean, look, you would expect Newcastle to beat Forest. You would expect Forest to get beat at Newcastle. We know both teams might well add players before the window shuts. Forest is a certainty. Newcastle could drop 70 million on a player tomorrow. So, no, I wouldn't read too much into it. It's just expected, right? It's more the unexpected ones. Like, do you overreact into things like United and Brighton? But then how many times last week did you and I say, we won't be surprised if Brighton go there and win, basically.
It's more like Bournemouth, Villa, and then people selling cash or Dean or Bailey or whoever they've decided to buy from Villa.
And picking up on unexpected things, like but there wasn't anything overly from the weekend. I mean, I'd say that you played a back four, surprised me.
But that was personnel.
But so what?
We didn't have the personnel.
I'm not judging West Ham going forwards on what they do against Man City. You ain't got to play them again until 2023. So it's not something I need to worry about. So now, listen, one game week's one game week. You can read too much. It's more like what I said on the pod earlier about don't move to Bailey to Dewsbury Hall because Dewsbury Hall scored from 40 yards yesterday. And Bailey's got Everton at home and Dewsbury Hall's going to Arsenal. Like, I'm scared of the price drop. Take the price drop.
The price drop's only relevant if you sell the player. But if you don't sell the player, like Perisic, for example, if he drops to 5.3, but I don't sell him, it's not relevant. It's only relevant when you sell the player.
No, but I get in, say, Bailey's circumstance, most people were probably looking 2 weeks and reassess. I get it. It just does not make logical sense to potentially sell an attacking player when they're about to play Everton at home. Everton just lost their two best centre-backs as well. That's an example where I just think, look, don't overlook at what you... And Bailey could be benched, don't get me wrong, but I would not sell him.
I'm going to, James, apologies to the patrons, ignore all the jizz Hornkamp questions that have been asked by the patrons. Because they should know better. Especially you, Stian.
That's a brilliant name, isn't it?
It is. But we're not going to be answering questions on this show about whether Jizz is better on the left or the right.
Jizz Hornkamp is one of the most phenomenal names I've ever heard in my life. Answer the questions on Jizz Hornkamp.
No. Mickey Race, is a Leicester keeper double up? Oh, this is FPL. It's done.
Ask it. No, it's relevant. Go on. Say it.
Leicester keeper double up. Best what FPL. About? Is it the best thing to do in FPL?
My opinion is no, didn't go with it. My take on it always was you can come back to it, was my thought process. I need to find a million. I think it was important for those of us who went for Ward that he started. And I just think at the moment, there's every chance Leicester will buy another goalkeeper, even if it's a number two. So not for me at the moment. For those who've gone with it, you sit on it at the moment, don't you? But then it's interesting to know, like, how do those people feel now looking at Arsenal away this weekend? In 3 game weeks' time, it's Chelsea away. Right? But that said, you're saving the money to use elsewhere, right?
Hall of Fame. I'm not set on a first wild card, but the idea of a late one and deadening to a bench boost in 16 crazy single fixtures, but Liverpool, Saints, United, Fulham, Arsenal, Wolves, City, Brentford, Spurs, Leeds.
I wouldn't bench boost in that week. No.
Yeah, it doesn't. Nothing in there.
But I wouldn't rule out the possibility of wild carding in that week and treating it like a free hit. If you're not happy, like, as I keep saying, it's going to be really, really interesting. I imagine it'd be the same as always. A lot of people are going to activate wild cards early, and a lot of it, I think, based on what we've seen from week one, but probably let's judge it again after week two, will be based on potential price rises for popular template players who haven't returned. Like, the idea to me of, let's say, Jesus blanks against Leicester, it's quite possible. The idea of then selling him before them next two, no, I'll take the price drop, thanks. I'm going to thump my wild card about so I can, I'll sell him and I'll buy him back at 7.9 or stuff like that. People get way too obsessed with these price rises. What do we all agree on? We all agree that the prices are too cheap. So how important is value? Oh, so I can have De Bruyne, Son and Salah for the last 6 weeks or so. Well, yeah, actually, what we've learned is you're better off going with the differentials over that kind of last stint anyway, if you really want to gain rank at the end. It's only useful if you want to protect and stuff. So I'm really not fast. The thing I kind of got in my mind at the moment is the Pretenders wild card, which I spoke to you about a lot. Do you know what? Just smash it. Really, literally just smash into Newcastle Villa, West Ham Villa, as and when it comes around. Go for it. Really, really differentiate. And know that, fine, it's for 8 weeks. And as those weeks go on, you slowly build back towards, like, Liverpool City assets for the last couple in that run.
Harbour Boy, which team is most likely to pull an awesome transfer out of nowhere before the window closes?
Spurs.
Manchester United.
Do you have faith in them to do it?
I have faith in them to throw money at the problem. And that's generally what gets stupid transfers over the line.
Yeah, but do they throw that money correctly?
Whether or not it's going to work out, I don't know. Like, I can still see Frankie de Jong happening to Manchester United.
I think against Chelsea, you know.
76 million. That's a big old transfer of that.
These lot should be fucking sitting there, Barcelona on the 31st of August, going, there's 25 million. Take it or leave it.
Mm. I think they will.
Fuck them.
I still think City will pull something out of the bag. They'll buy another player. They had that 50-odd million for Cucurella. Well, not quite, but they got money. I think they'll buy one more. But I think Manchester United, because they're the ones that are like going to shit the bed and think they need to do something.
Well, there's a lot of talk. Especially if they lose on Saturday, they might panic, yeah.
There's a lot of talk about Arnautović at the moment, Marco Arnautović joining. And people say, it's not the solution. It's not the solution. But if they sign him on a one-year contract, I think they probably...
He wants three years, Suj.
He's 33, man.
He wants 3 years.
He needs a one-year contract. He's the type of character that will just fucking throw his toys out the pram or shout at players or be the disruptive like influence that maybe they need a shake-up in there.
I wonder how Ronaldo and Arnautović will get on in training.
Probably become best mates, to be honest. They were.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I can't see that.
Let me lick you and see if you taste the chocolate. No, you're more chocolatey than me. They'll love each other. They're both chocolate fucking tasting each other, bastards. Jarvo, that was a bit harsh on the both of them. I actually think Arnautović would be a good signing for Man United if they get him on a one-year contract. Fuck giving a 33-year-old a six-year contract. Three-year contract if he's 36.
Does it not say to you, though, that actually they want to buy a backup to Ronaldo rather than spending a shitload of money on someone? I mean, being serious, if Ronaldo does stay, and they've got Martial as well, if he's staying, why are you buying Arnautović? I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What, because you can't use Rashford up front? You want to use Christian Eriksen there yesterday. Why are you buying a striker? It doesn't make sense. Is that your problem? Buy another attacking player. That's not your fucking problem. The problem is in the other end of the pitch.
Jarvo, this may have been asked before, but is it Nico NITO, Nico NECO, or Nico NIKO for your video editing extraordinaire? James, you manager, you should know.
It's Semedo. No, I do know.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's NICO. It's
short. It's not. It's NECO.
It's NECO.
No,
it's Nico. NICO. It's NICO. No, it's short for Nicolau.
Oh, Nicolau. Okay. That's true, because I saw his CV when he first applied for the job. Nicolau Semedo. TJ Powell, I've got a new seat at the Liberty, and for some reason I feel strange about changing my routine before a game in that style. What's the most pointless thing that can happen to you that completely throws you off? Is this about football? Something that's thrown you off your groove. What's the most pointless thing that can happen to you that completely you off your groove? There's a word missing in there, but you get the question, James.
What's the word?
Throws you off your groove.
Oh, I thought it's going to be like a swear word, something interesting, like a C-bomb or something. Throws me off my groove. I just don't like it generally when time fucks up.
I hate being late.
When you think you've got more time than you have. And
I hate rushing. I hate being late. Like, we had nothing to do literally yesterday. Kids had their class in the morning. She just finished at 11:30. I was like, I've got fuck all to do. We just went straight down to Westfield. Got there by 12:30. I'm like, game's not for 4 hours, but have some lunch, go bowling, go around the shops, mooch around. I feel fine. If I'm marching into the ground with like 5 minutes to kick off, fuck, I hate that. I hate being late or rushed.
My missus' favourite one is like, so let's say we're going to go out quite early, 9 o'clock in the morning or something. Quite common at the moment. Take Harry out early-ish at the weekend before it gets too hot and stuff, right? So might set the alarm half 7. Okay. Another 15 minutes snooze. You won't fucking snooze if you're going to watch Spurs, would you? Yeah, but I'm not going to watch Spurs. I'm not actually on the clock here, am I? It doesn't actually matter if we're 10, 15 minutes later. Yeah, but you're never late for Spurs. Like, yeah, but priorities, babe. It's not that I don't care. It's just We're not under time pressure here to take our son down the park. It's okay.
Stian wanted to know if Harry did shit on the floor. We know now that that was not something.
No, there's no way. I don't even know how anybody could have thought that that was a possibility, because I promise you, I would have been at least 5 minutes. Literally, he took his nappy off. It wasn't even wet. He just took his nappy off. Because I'd changed him literally 5 minutes before I started the stream of shit. So, which is like a pain in the ass, but it's like, oh, good, he's done it. So he taken his nappy off. He hadn't shit. He hadn't pissed. It was just completely dry. I just put it straight back on him. He doesn't he doesn't normally do that.
Mickey Race is asking about the wingbacks at Spurs. Let's do that on Tottenham on Wednesday, if you don't mind. Mickey Race will go into a bit of detail about that. John Jaco, Mr. Jakobsen, what are your thoughts on Scott Parker's suit? I didn't see it.
Oh, we had like these two stripes on the sleeve or something, didn't it? I don't know. I'm not going to give anybody critique on their fashion sense. More of a problem, Guardiola yesterday, wearing a fucking polo neck.
In the heat.
What are you doing?
Yeah, mate, it was too hot for that.
Like, he had sweat patches under his armpits. You could see it like 2 minutes in. Grim, mate. What are you doing?
Mickey Race.
Wear a t-shirt or a polo shirt. What's wrong with you?
It was proper hot. Mickey Race, a Villa or no-go at the moment?
As in to buy their assets?
Yep.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go there.
Me too.
I mean, if you already bought something, I'm on cash, many be on Bailey, Dean, whatever. As I said, I wouldn't sell it this week, personally. But I wouldn't buy as new either, no.
Phil, FPL failure. Have you seen a weaker bench than the Wolves one on Saturday? Was it really shit?
It was mainly kids you won't have heard of in the main. Yeah, Bournemouth pre-season a couple of weeks ago, and they only put like four players on the bench, didn't they? So, interesting remainder of the month, I think, for Wolves. And I'm not convinced if they are or they aren't going to do anything.
Danielle, with the way Fulham and Bournemouth performed on Saturday, did we all underestimate them?
Yeah, of course. It's normal though. It's even more normal because of the transfer window,
yeah,
and the lack of what those two clubs have done. You can't, we're a promoted club. You can't really make a true judgment on them till the window's closed, and then see how they set. And in this case, you make a case. You can't really judge those two teams properly till probably game week 9. Now, it doesn't mean you can't target them, right? Many of us are now going to captain a Man City player this week, but then the result of the weekend hasn't changed that. I mean, you'd argue it swung the other way. Oh, am I not captaining Haaland or De Bruyne because Bournemouth beat Villa? No, it doesn't actually make a difference, does it? It's still Man City playing a home game against what we do know will be one of the weaker teams in the league. You also have to factor in the opposition. Liverpool, for whatever reason, were not at their best. And Villa were toilet.
That's the second half of Daniel's question. Is Klopp ever going to give another team credit when they don't win? He was moaning about, was it dry pitch?
Yeah, but that's going to be the same for everybody.
Yeah,
I'm sure the pitch at Stratford yesterday wasn't watered as well as it normally would be.
Well, they obviously the sprinklers were on. I said, because I remember saying to my son, like before the kickoff, well, how much would you give to just run onto the pitch right now and just stand there with the sprinklers spraying on you?
You've got to put some on because you can end up, you see what happened with Coventry?
No.
So Coventry's game with Rotherham was postponed yesterday because no one's done nothing with the pitch. It's rock hard. It's unsafe.
Oh, wow.
That's not Coventry's fault. It's down to the Rico guys still own it, don't they? And Wasps actually get first say on what happens with the pitch.
Yeah, but I've heard that, Wasps...
That's farcical, isn't it?
Wasps are fucked now because they haven't paid rent. They haven't made their mortgage payments for the last 3 or 4 months. So now Coventry up for sale. I was listening to Price of Money with...
What is this? Money in rugby?
Well, so the thing is, though, because obviously if you're going to buy a football club and it doesn't come with its own stadium, that's a bit of a concern for some people. But now what they're thinking is that whoever comes in to buy Coventry will also have the opportunity to buy back the Rico because Wasps aren't making the repayments on it. So it's going to get repossessed. So the likelihood of someone coming in to buy Coventry is better because they will be able to possibly buy back the stadium as well. Now, who's got the money and wants to come in and buy Coventry is a question for another day. Rob Pick, not an FPL question. How much of Decky yesterday was down to, sorry, not yesterday, on a Saturday?
We didn't actually answer the question, did we? We just went on our tangent.
They all whinge when they lose.
I saw a piece in The Athletic last week, which had monitored how much managers moan. And I have to say, it really did surprise me because Klopp was one of the lowest. That said, it do win most games of football. So he probably will moan less, but then he was like moan a lot less than Guardiola is what they'd had. Conte of the top six was actually the one who moaned the less, believe it or not. Guess who was first?
Pep.
No, mate. Arteta, Jesus, mate, he's something else.
Rob Pick, how much of Kulusevski's performance was his ability versus was it Gineppo left wing back?
Yeah, and then coming into Salisu as well, they were both terrible. Yeah.
So give it a percentage split. 70% Kulu, 30% shit defending.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Yeah. So you couldn't put it all on. I mean, you take the one, have you seen the one where it comes out the sky and he kills it and pulls it behind and then in the same movement does a lollipop? Like, to be honest, he could have been going up at prime Ashley Cole there and he might have done him over. So yeah, he was very, very good. But yes, probably helped that he knew he had his men on that side absolutely banged everywhere. So would he have played quite so well if he was playing against Ben Chilwell and Koulibaly as he might be at the weekend? Nah, probably not, in fairness.
Sam O'Sullivan, are Leicester's financial challenges down to their owners running out of money or FFP? I don't think they've got an FFP problem, have they?
No. They're trying to invest in the stadium a little bit. So the side where the camera is, they're building, and it's not just another stand on top. It's part of a whole other complex of other things as well, which I think that's now started, I believe. I don't know if that's having a major impact. The negative in me and other people might suggest they do not want to give Brendan Rodgers any more money after last year. He got Ryan Bertrand, Yannick Vestergaard, Patson Daka, and a couple of others, and basically none of them ever played. They might have gone, well, actually, you had all this money last year for a lot of players, never spent it. I think there's a little bit of concern about outgoings. There's the squad is too big currently for European competition, basically. So they're conscious of wanting to get rid of a certain amount of players as well. So I don't know. It's one to watch really closely. I don't think they've run out of money. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think they're probably assessing their options is more the point. The danger with this league is, and you know how it is, you assess your options and you blink and you're 11th, 12th and you're playing catch up with those in front of you, never mind the six in front.
Duncan Robjohn says, hi guys, I hope you had a great start to the season. What are your thoughts on Callum Wilson? You mentioned he is trying to compete for an England call-up. If he stays fit, can you see him being picked for the World Cup? Got a feeling he could have a standout season for Newcastle. I don't see him getting a call-up for the England squad, to be honest with you. I think it's quite close now to the World Cup for him to make that. I saw a video of him, because you know him and Mikel Antonio do this footballers podcast on the BBC, and they were having a bit of banter because Antonio scored, I think he only scored one more goal than Callum Wilson last year. And Callum Wilson was saying, well, I was injured for half the season, so I'd score more fucking goals than you. And they're having a bit of banter about it. He seems like, I mean, he wants to do well. He's just fucking injury prone, isn't he? Like, I think is he a good pick? He's a good price.
The reality is, bottom line, and by the way, this will happen at the World Cup. Let's say he takes Callum Wilson. At some point during the World Cup, you'll hear people say, play Wilson instead of Kane. Because people just have to be obsessed with doing something if Harry Kane's not playing well, for example. The reality is, none of them forwards in the background are good enough. Whether it's Wilson, Watkins, Calvert-Lewin's a little bit difficult to judge at the moment because of injuries as well. But can you ever foresee any of them guys being England's regular starting striker? Let's say Harry Kane retired tomorrow. Can you ever see any of them I think England would be far more likely to play with like Phil Foden as a false nine or something these days.
Yeah, or pray to God that like Rashford's fit or some stupidity like that. I don't know.
Well, Rashford ain't going to be doing nothing based on the way he played yesterday. Same yep. applies to Jadon Sancho. Welbeck obviously mentioned. I think the more name to be interested by maybe might be Tony.
Yeah.
At Brentford.
Yeah, I think that's a better shot.
Attributes wise, it's probably a good fit, I think. He can drop off short like Harry does as well. I mean, quality in that area is obviously poles apart. But yeah, I think Tony would maybe be the one. Solanke's got no chance if he plays where he played at the weekend. That's not to say he'll stay in that position, but generally no chance if that's where he's going to play. None of them are good enough, really. I would honestly, like I said, if he's fit, I would take Danny Welbeck. He'll get the best out of you. Forget, oh, Danny Welbeck won't score goals. Forget that. Danny Welbeck get the best out of the others.
Patrick Galdart, I started the season with Kulusevski, planning to move to a Man City midfielder in Game Week 2. Would you stick to the original plan? And if so, which mid? Or just roll the transfer? It's a bit of a hard one to answer because it depends on... I mean, assuming you're not buying this player to captain them. So if you've got Haaland captaincy coverage, then the need to move Kulu to a midfielder is less.
So what...
If you don't, then it's a different question.
This is a really interesting question. So the question is basically, my plan was to buy a Man City player in Game Week 2, correct?
Correct.
That's the original plan.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's changed? This is interesting. The psychology here. What's changed?
Kulu scored and assisted and got max BPS.
But presumably, Kulusevski was only going in for 1 week because you thought he was going to go off anyway.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's why you went. You went with Kulusevski for 1 week because you thought he was the most likely to go off for 1 week. And he has. So what's changed?
Ask yourself that, Patrick.
It's interesting. No, that's it. Like, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. But if your plan was to move it and you went with Kulusevski for 1 week, so far your decision process is brilliant. Kulusevski was the best 1 week choice. You're winning. I'd stick to whatever your bloody plan is.
Which one would you buy, James, if you had to?
Oh, I mean, that is the other point, yeah, in fairness.
I'd, if it was me, I'd be buying Grealish. But
any of them could play.
If you're buying and holding for a long period, you just want a bit of consistency, I'd be inclined actually to maybe look at Gundo. But if I want a short-term haul and really just punt it, I'd go Grealish.
I think if it was me, I'd buy Gundogan.
Yeah, it's one of those two. I think Foden less so, because Foden, the space for Foden to get in the box just isn't quite there.
I'd be very conscious of being in it. The real answer here is if you're not comfortable and you don't know, don't do it.
Yeah, and the answer to the who for me, Grealish, James,
in the sense of, you don't know how you feel about Man City. It's a desperation to have Man City. Don't. There's other teams with good fit. You know, go and have Saka instead if you don't own, for example, at home to Leicester. There's other teams with very good fixtures. Go and if you're unhappy looking at Kulusevski at Chelsea, look at Diaz or someone else, right? It doesn't have to be a Man City player. We get obsessed with this every year. I must have 3 Man City players. Well, yeah, but unless it's Cancelo, De Bruyne and Haaland, do we ever get it right? Do we ever get it right on the third one? No.
Max says, how much of an attacking threat will Cancelo be this year? If he continues to play in a narrow position as he did against West Ham, is he worth his 7 million price or should we look elsewhere for better value?
Of course, he's got booked yesterday and still got bonus.
Still got bonus. And also, West Ham are probably one of the most organised sides in terms of shape 100%. In the league, and we cut out space. Like some teams that will get pulled apart a little bit more, Cancelo will be running through way more. He was still taking shots from in and around the edge of the box. And who's overlapping with Grealish on that side? It's Cancelo. Yeah, he's well worth it for me. Yeah. He's not going anywhere for me. Sam O'Sullivan, what's your advice to someone that only got 35 points with no Salah or Haaland, but owns double Liverpool and City defences, Kane, De Bruyne, Diaz? Well, I've got double Liverpool defence if you count the keeper and one City defender. The only difference is I've got is Kane Haaland. If you haven't made the Kane to Haaland move already, Sam, and this question was asked yesterday, I'd be surprised. And other than that, just stick with it. Just Kane to Haaland's all you need to do, and you'll be fine. It's all going to write itself. It's one game week. Don't worry about it.
By Haaland, if you haven't done it yet, -4 on Thursday or Friday. That's generally where I'm at. But it happens, right? The thing is plenty of people have had bad scores and stuff. It's like exactly what we said. Trent Robertson and Diaz, 4 points. I mean, listen, they might be 30 points on Monday night, right? It's how they are. So you picked them for consistency. Ride through the fact that there will be inconsistent moments among the consistency. They're not going to keep 38 clean sheets, are they? They're not going to get attacking returns every week. Again, it's psychological. You know this is going to happen. If you go Trent, you are Trent's season keeper, right? Okay, so what do you really expect to Trent? Okay, 18 to 20 clean sheets, right? If Liverpool do really well again. Okay, fine. How many attacking returns? Let's say 15 or so. So you put it together and in your head, you think, well, that's 33 returns in 38 weeks. You ain't never going to blank nearly. But yes, because you know quite often you'll get them together.
Double up and they'll haul.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know that there are going to be blanks in there. It's normal.
FPL Hall of Fame, stick with double Villa defence of Dean and Cash or move one on? And if so, who? I've got $500,000 in the bank.
I'd keep them both this week.
Yeah, for 1 week, ride it out, but then be ready to move it next week.
I'd if you ask me right now for a prediction, I would say Villa would probably win about 2-0 on Saturday.
Everton.
Yeah, Villa got Everton at home.
I don't think it's going to be that, but...
What do you think?
Do you know what? I'd opened up the predictor spreadsheet earlier. I think 1-1. I'm going to go 1-1.
All right, fine. So it's just sell, I say keep.
I say keep, but be ready to move next week, to be clear.
Oh, if you've got both, yeah, one's going the week after. But then there's power in the rolling, right? So you might be able to go... If you've got the two of them... It might be that you're going Nico Williams and Reece James and restructuring, or you're going 4.5 and maybe Perisic is back in the team. That's loads. The power in rolling there is so much better for that.
Jamie wants to know if you woke up and saw Ian Dowie mowing your lawn, what would you say to him?
100%. I'd ask him about the Stockport own goal, mate. Literally would have to ask him about the Stockport own goal. Class. Good bloke, Ian Dowie. I'd answer bounce back ability as well. You'd have to ask him about that.
Who did Swindon Town play at the weekend? I want to know.
I've no idea, mate.
Swindon Town fixtures, because
you drove past the stadium and there was two fans.
Salford City. All right. No, I was on the train to Bath and there was a load of football fans obviously drinking it up at 10 in the morning, talking about the Championship. But if I was sitting any closer, I would have literally pulled out Gaffer and said, do me a teammate, will you? Because I ain't got a fucking clue. But they're all traveling from London. So I was like, who are they playing? Because they all got off the train at Swindon. So I don't know. But.
So who were they playing?
Salford City. So this is why I'm confused why there's so many people from London heading across.
Yeah, but they might have gone the quickest way to do it. I don't know. Might be Manchester into London, then go to Paddington or something.
Yeah,
might be the quickest way.
Yeah, maybe. But they were all Cockney geezers from London, so I was a bit confused. Right, that's a story for another day. Gary Mantle, who's the most famous footballer that you wouldn't recognise if they walked past you in the street wearing normal clothes?
Wow, good question. I feel like that needs some thought, doesn't it? Good question. Why did I look for the Liverpool City squads? They're easy ones. I'm gonna say someone like
our new signings,
like Bissouma or Clement Longley or something like that. Like I could pass them in the street and not notice, I think.
Yeah. Alistair Cooper.
Who did you say?
Ruben Diaz.
No, Diaz I'd recognize, yeah.
Following on from Harry's cameo on the deadline stream, where's the weirdest place that you have changed a nappy? Do you know what? I've blocked all that shit from back in the day out of my mind, so I haven't got a clue. The weirdest place to change a nappy? On a beach? On holiday? On a beach, maybe?
No, not even on a beach, I don't think. No, I don't think. It wasn't Kane. He was sitting to a beach last year. He was not happy. At all. Like, what is this yellow stuff? Don't want that. Weirdest place change. It's going to be like shopping car park or something like that. Like, you've got him back to the car and he's let go. You changed him in the back of the car in a shopping car park, something like that. Yeah. That's about it, I think. Sorry.
Alex wants to know, if Conte wins you the league...
What are people expecting? Oh, yeah, in the club.
In a club. if Conte wins Spurs the league, would you want a statue of him outside the lane?
Yeah, I'd be all right. If he wins the league, yeah, he can have it.
You can have it, mate.
I'll paint it for him as well, mate.
Danny yeah, McDonald. Listen,
anyone wins the league, he can do what they want.
Assuming you're on wild card, are you on wild card, Danny? Would you still go no Salah? Or would you target three other Liverpool assets, considering Haaland seems a good captain for the next stretch of fixtures? I'd still be on no Salah if I was.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, in terms of the no Salah, the worst week was the first week, basically. And number four, depending on when it comes around, might be a little bit. But everybody else has got good fixtures in four as well, so not so much. It was always one. Looking at the weeks, you'd look at it and go, I think if you were doing it, what I looked at was Salah's best twice, Son's best twice, Haaland's best twice, basically was how I looked at it. So then you're looking at it and going, well, can I go Son at home to Southampton versus Salah at Fulham? And can I go Haaland at home to Palace, for example, or Salah at home to Bournemouth, or even Son at Forest? There's alternatives that day. And I said, yeah, like we can take it on here. We can take it on. So one and four were always going to be the two of the first six, where it was like, So if I was wildcarding, yeah, literally no different. The only thing maybe be different now is I'm less keen on Diaz now. So yep. maybe even be a debate to just have two Liverpool.
Chris Jago, will Pep continue to use inverted wingers now the Nordic God has arrived? I can't knock performances of Grealish or Foden yesterday. Foden wasn't inverted from the right, but getting the ball across from wide spaces may be the way to go.
I thought it was great, Foden. Yeah, one touch in the first half, it looked like it was going over his head for a throw-in, and he managed to pull it down over his head. Oh, classy, man. Yeah, look, it's Guardiola. He'll come up with different tactical ideas. Plus, as well, think, as David Moyes kind of gave the game away after the game, right? They had big problems with you last year. So invariably, he's going to come up with something different. So are we going to see 2-3-5 from Man City in every game going forward? Nah. Wouldn't be surprised if we see something very, very different as early as Saturday.
Jarvo, barring injury, what will stop Haaland being an overwhelming success this season? Nothing. Nothing. He's got it all.
He won't play 38 games. Because logic tells us that there will be injuries and stuff. His record tells us that. If you do get 38 games out of him, in my opinion, he will beat the all-time goals in a season.
He's a goal a game minimum this year. Goal a game minimum.
If he played 38 games, I think he could get 40 goals.
You know, collectively, like everyone, we were already losing 2-0 when he got subbed off. Collectively, everyone was like, thank fuck. Like, you just feel, fuck, like God, he's off the pitch. Because it now gives us a fighting chance that maybe that focal point isn't there for them, that we can actually have a go and release that pressure. But psychologically,
The thing is, I mentioned Henry earlier, and you have to be careful here, like because they're very different players. And I'm not saying Haaland is as good as Henry was. But that sense of, I cannot stop this player.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't matter what you did with Henry. If Henry was on it, and invariably he was, you couldn't stop him. And Haaland's the same in that quick over yards. If the pass is right, you knew when Henry went away, forget about it. And exactly what I said about Haaland and shifting his body, Henry used to do the same finish all the fucking time. All the time. Open his body,
open the body corner, up, far corner, and job done.
Immaculate in terms of his finishing and stuff. Henry is quicker than Haaland. But Haaland, those first couple of yards are ridiculous.
Thing I would just chuck in, this is not the Haaland loving, but the penalty, so cool.
How many problems have they had with penalties as well?
Just did. I was a bit, he's a penalty. You've got a chance, goalkeeper. Like, there wasn't a second it looked like. missing it. Just tucked in the bottom corner so easily. We have Alex Pillows Penn. Who didn't return in game week one you think is most prime for points in the next few game weeks? Who didn't return? Well, Jesus, I think, is definitely up there with the Fulham Bournemouth
Harry
games.
Kane, ironically.
I think the one who returned but is also prime for even more points because he got the assist was KDB. I think one of these weeks, KDB is going to have another 20-pointer.
This is going to be my week debating these three home games and what it means for...
One of them, James, is going to pull out a 20-pointer.
I know, but the thing is, I don't think I'm captaining him anyway. That's the other side of it.
Yeah, I'd be tempted.
He's not hugely owned. He's not going to be as well, even more so now that people have obviously going to be kind of leaning into Haaland and stuff. But then there's the upside of it as well, right? I get it. Is it worth getting KDB for the three home games over the next four and give myself a worse captain in game week three? That's part of what I'm thinking in my mind. So yes, like, does KDB outscore Son over the next four? Yes, possibly. But I probably captain Son in three if I keep him. So then it's effective five for Son. Then what? And actually, you can go into game week six as well where I'd captain Son. So you could take it over to 5 weeks. Villa away is the last one. You wouldn't shit yourself about that either. So I've got effective Son 7 versus KDB 5.
Yeah.
And when I say that out loud, I think keep Sonny, right? Because same, yeah?
But
any time, innit?
But you still want him, don't you, KDB?
Yes. Yes.
How long does Gerrard have? Matt wants to know.
First 10 or so, I think. If for some reason they're in the bottom three or four after they played at Nottingham Forest on October the... I think it's been moved to a Monday night, hasn't it? October the 10th or something. Then, yeah, they might change. The dream of the Liverpool job could end very, very quickly for him here. They don't have an identity. And the reality is they do have good footballers. I think... and I know a few of the Villa guys would disagree with this, but I think buying Coutinho was a mistake. Doesn't fit for me. I think the best is gone. I think it slows him down a bit. I think he's become a player that's going to look great one in every five or so, and I don't think that's enough. They need to work out what they're doing, what they
are.
Would you sell him
if you owned him in
Coutinho?
Yeah.
I would not sell any Aston Villa player this week in FPL.
Because okay. Ben Cameron's question was, took a punt on Coutinho, hold or sell?
Hold.
Okay.
Hold, but he might not start either.
Aaron says, if you were told that you had 1 year to train at a sport and had to play against and beat the number 100 ranked player in the world in said sport, which would you pick?
Wow.
See, my heart says pick a combat sport because I'd like to fight, but my head says table tennis.
But are you mad? Table tennis? These guys are insane, mate.
Yeah, but I've got a year to just table tennis.
No, bro. It's got to be something mental. Like, can we have like Connect Four or something?
That's not a sport, mate. You have to sweat when you're playing it.
Is poker a sport?
Nah. If you don't sweat when you're playing it, it's not a sport.
You definitely sweat playing poker, mate.
Yeah. Shit bricks.
Poker would be the one. God. I suppose top 100. That's not possible. It's not possible. It's possible.
If you had 2 years, I reckon you could do it.
Nah, this literally, I'm thinking through shitloads of sports, like even things like bowling and bowls and stuff like that. Like, you've got no chance, absolutely none. Badminton or squash, something like that.
Squash maybe. Is hard. Fuck squash. Badminton, you might. Yeah, but if you that's have, why if... table tennis easier.
Yeah, but a lot of that is fitness and stuff.
I'd pick kickboxing if, because there's not a lot of different moves to
I'm
learn
not
in
getting
that.
Kicked.
there was a fight yesterday, in grappling, but basically wrestling, And these two guys are having a fight. They really hate each other. Gordon Ryan and a guy called Felipe Pena. the two, they're regarded as the best ever. The rules of the fight were no time limit, submission only. So literally, fight until one of you submits the other, no holds, well, holds barred, but it lasted 45 minutes and then one of them quit. That's a bit disappointing. Right, Baz. James, you said on a pod about 2 to 3 years ago, when he was still at Spurs, you thought Dele Alli was basically finished. The same now apply to Marcus Rashford. He is offering absolutely nothing at the minute.
No, he was better in the second half yesterday. At least like he was getting in positions and stuff. And that's normally a good sign. Like, are you getting in positions and stuff? But we spoke about this on, I think, Tottenham either last week or maybe the week before, where we spoke about us potentially having to reconsider what a player's peak is. And actually understanding that for many players now, it might actually be when they're 20 or 21. It's the worst time, really, because if you're like in Dele Alli's case and you're brilliant at like, I mean, 19, he was rated by the CIES Observatory, the most valuable footballer in the world. And you're now at this stage at what, 25, 26? It's kind of heartbreaking, really.
Yep.
Where Everton ain't got a centre forward and they're still not picking him. Sad. And hopefully that doesn't happen to Rashford as well. He's got a confidence problem at the moment, I think, more than an ability problem.
Rob Pick, can you make a pitch to Mark Southern to come and discuss FPL with us more in here, where it's safer rather than the Twitter cesspit that has caught his ire this week? I know he has an account in here, so I encourage him to embrace the Slack and ignore the Twitter sphere. Apparently so. I undoubtedly enjoy FPL and fantasy football in general, chatting in here instead of Twitter, and it's 100 times harder for a content creator, I can imagine. So,
I mean, I've bugged out Mark a couple of times saying, get yourself on Slack. The guys will fucking love you there. The problem is, I do get it from his point of view that if he starts chatting, there is a danger for him. Oh, he did join as well. Fair game. That it becomes Mark. You know, people just all the time in the Forest channel or even on the FPL channel, like Mark. There is a temptation, if you know he's there, to just kind of lean on that a little bit. Which most of the time he's very good with, but you know how it is for Mark that sometimes he'd obviously rather step away from things as well. So he'll come when he's ready, no doubt. I have said to him a few times, come and say hello. People will be so welcoming to you and stuff.
Yeah. John Jakobsen, what was Such doing on Friday that made him forget his Sky captaincy, and will he learn from this? So the problem is in the question. I didn't forget my Sky captaincy in that I thought I had said it. I just clearly had fucking fucked up. It wasn't a case of, oh, I need my Sky cap. Oh, I forgot I should have set a captaincy. I thought I'd set it on Hayes because I only had the one Arsenal player.
So I didn't message you about Sky reminder on Friday.
I know.
Yeah, but I literally thought, like, how can it not when we discussed it today and stuff like that?
Because you sent me your team as well.
You must at least... Did I? Yeah, I sent you my team, yeah.
Yeah, I sent you mine back.
That's kind of a reminder enough, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I thought my captain was set. So the fact that Jesus blanked has not really affected me massively yet, but I can understand that. But 85 points, not great, but also
any
transfers. Nico Williams is a problem at the moment. Conceded 2 goals and a yellow card, 0 points. But everybody else in my team, apart from Jesus, returned at the weekend. So I'm fairly happy with that. I've done my back in really badly on Friday.
Oh my God, mine's really so bad at the moment as well.
Not good. So, I went to bed quite early because I knew I was going to be out on the lash all day on Saturday and didn't want to be crocked for that. I went axe throwing on Saturday, mate. Pretty good fun, to be fair. Lobbing an axe at like a target.
Did you win?
No. I was winning up until halfway and then we started getting into double hand axe throwing and didn't go my way in the end.
There's somewhere in London you can do that. My wife's
loads of places. You know what we need, though? What I want to get up at the office is a dartboard. Start playing some proper darts, mate.
I would not want to be anywhere near my wife if she's holding a fucking axe, mate.
Tim C, what do you make about, this is the last question, James, a lot of content creators saying the game is boring, ruined by Twitter and templates, etc. Boring as you make it.
Yeah, I mean, look, exactly.
Have a bit
that.
Of fun, I pick think, some crazy players.
Yeah, but unfortunately, if we're being honest, the picking the crazy players may not work. At the end of the day, Serge, right now we're behind. Why are we behind?
Because we have Mo Salah.
It's the reality, isn't it? So, look, I don't think, as I've said, it's kind of like 6 weeks judgment. So, I'm not going to judge it too much, but we've given everyone, what, a 12-point advantage or so?
Give or take.
14 points, 14
I think, points.
Actually. 14 points.
10 versus 24.
So, got to make that up in 5 weeks now. That's not to say we can't do it, right? Might even do it. If Salah blanks in two and Haaland gets a hat-trick, I'm going to take that as I'm ahead, to be honest. But yeah, it's unfortunately, it is more of a template game. It should suit us, Serge, because of Sky.
Okay.
I think there's someone who perhaps isn't so good at FPL, who's a regular Sky player, will do very, very well in that game this year, I would think. But yeah, we'll make it. I said this a little bit on my stream on Friday, that I think it's a shame. You reflect on Correspondent Week, and as good as the insight is, and the insight's really good from all of them, how many of them are you actually really considering taking players from? 10 tops, really? Shouldn't be like that. I think we should go into game week one, unless you've got situations like with Palace, because Palace assets will be good this season, I'm pretty confident, but like their fixtures are dog, so fine, there's your reason to avoid it. But there's loads of other ones just looking and going, price wise, it's too much good stuff elsewhere, too cheap elsewhere, that I'm gonna overlook you. Where's the whole, it's like when the game got launched, people were tweeting about, brilliant rotation for these two 4.5s. Okay. Don't think anyone's doing that, actually. Waste your time. The game's already changed. Who's having two 4.5s this year? I'm sure someone listening is. But who was having two 4.5s when you can have two 4.0s? Like, there's loads of stuff just got, like, deemed irrelevant this year, basically.
It did. It did indeed. Patrons, thank you for your questions. Tomorrow we've got money in football. We're going to talk a bit about NFTs and crypto in football. And then on Wednesday, you've got Tottenham. Thursday's a quiz. Friday, stream. Questions, is it?
Differential show for the patrons.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Diff show. So I hope you're enjoying all of the content, especially if you're a new patron as well. I've noticed there's only 280 people in this channel, James. So half of the patrons are probably not even asking questions, but might be for the better. We'll end up with a 4-hour show. yeah, thank you for all your questions. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Cheers, patrons. Have a good week. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.